are indeed made to be worshipped. And Lord, we are made to worship you, Father. Lord, we ask that as we come to your word that you give us understanding, Lord. Give us clarity and give me some help, Lord. Amen. Because I'm feeling pretty nervous. Sweet, thanks for that. Tonight we're going to look at Psalm 4, and one thing that came through for me when I was reading it was the theme of anger. It's one thing that popped out. So David gets he gets a bit fired up in this psalm, as you might expect. There's been a fair bit going on in his life. Through this psalm tonight, I hope that we're all taught an important lesson on how important it is to deal with anger the right way, because it does happen to all of us, and you can't really get away from anger these days. As long as there's sin around, there's going to be anger as well, because people do you wrong and you get fired up about it. There's three points I want to make tonight under three headings. Pretty simple. The first one is, how should we approach God? The second one, I don't know if it's being put up there or not, but yeah, I didn't give it to Mark before. So approaching God is the first one. Second one, getting angry, deal with it. That's the second point. And the third one, we're not made to do this alone. So if you turn with me to Psalm 4, and maybe put up there. Thanks, Mark. Cheers. Psalm 4, we'll just read through this for a start, and then we'll get into it. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself, and the Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So, this is what we're going to be dealing with tonight at the start. Just a brief breakdown. He approaches God in the right way. In the middle, we see him getting a wee bit angry about something. And at the end, he comes back to God and rests in God and the peace that God will give him. We've all had things happen to us that get us a bit fired up. When I was about a month out from being married, I was working down south, and as a job, we had kind of had to do a sleepover thing. I was like supervising a guy with autism, so I slept at his house, and my car was parked outside. Actually, it was Debbie's car at the time. It was parked outside, and this drunk guy decided he'd be pretty funny, and in the middle of the night, drive backwards up the street, and he wiped into the side of my car and cleaned off the rear vision mirror and everything like that, or the side mirror, and then took off. And that made me pretty angry, because I went out there and everything was a mess, and the guy just took off, and it just meant more money they had to fork out to fix the thing, you know, for insurance and stuff. And then last year, Debs was at work, and that same car got stolen and dumped at Onehunga, and they stole the stereo, and there were smoking hooters in the car, so it smelled a bit for a while. And then 2 weeks ago, I parked out there, and while we were worshipping, someone got to the back of the number plate and bent it in half, so it's like that, and broke the back window wiper off the car. That kind of stuff fires me up and makes me angry, because it's pretty gutting having to fork out more and more money for this, you know, just stupid acts. So there's a lot of stuff that gets us angry, and we're gonna know how to deal with it. We start thinking things like, if I only got my hands on that person, I know what I'd do. I'd wring their necks. I'd give them a good kick out the backside. I'd do all these things. We start thinking of all these things that are really quite bad. But we kind of make it okay in our minds. We're like, yeah, surely they're deserving of it. the thing is that that's human natural reaction. If someone does us wrong, we feel all of a sudden entitled to get them back, give them a piece of our mind. But we'll see today how God wants us to act in those situations through the psalm that David writes. So let's remember the context. Remember, Hazor and the guys have been talking about David and what he's been up to, or what other people have been up to in his life. His family's a bit of a mess, really. Remember, his son Absalom pretty well tried to overthrow him and undermine him. And that's pretty, must be gutting, being the king and your own son tries to kick you out of the throne and try to take you over. To the first point, how do we approach God in a time when we're in distress? Quite often if we're praying to God when things have happened, like, you know, bad things in our life, we can just get straight to the point and say, I want this, I want you to do this, save me from this. But David teaches us in this psalm how we should start off. He's obviously been pretty sick and tired of people doing the things they're doing, but he starts in the right way. He recognizes that God is the one in control right here. He's bigger than David. David's a mere human being. He knows that, and he realizes God is the one who can do anything in this situation. And he knows that God has pulled him through in the past as well. So he seeks God reverently and earnestly, and he recognizes that God is all-powerful, the righteous one, as we read there in the first couple of verses. So that's an awesome place to start, and a good lesson for us to start in prayer. From here, he starts to get a wee bit fired up and lets us know how he's feeling. As the king, you know, as I said, he's gutted that people are trying to overrun him. But he keeps his focus on God. For us, when we're in a situation like this, we've got to keep our focus on God as well, not just what's going on and how we're going to beat people up and sort them out on our own. He refocuses his prayer on God. The Lord has set apart the godly for himself, and he will hear me when I call. So he's been angry for a bit, and then he refocuses with that line, just to remind himself that, yeah, God is on my side, and you know, he'll help me with this. Dealing with it. Moving on through the passage, we get down to verse 4. It says, in your anger, do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. We see that David, you know, he's still a bit angry, but he's got a pretty good lesson with us on how to deal with this this anger inside of us. It's got to be dealt with the right way, because anger, as we know, can lead us to sin. Being angry itself, well, there's nothing wrong with being angry at something when wrong is done to us, but it's what happens, what we do with that anger. When we think wrong thoughts about how we're going to knock someone to bits, you know, for what they did for us, you know, did to us, or kick them into next week for stealing our car if we get our hands on them. David teaches us here a new way to deal with anger. And to be honest, I hadn't really thought about this until I read it the other day. I hadn't thought that this is a great way to deal with anger. Usually you try and do it yourself, but there's a couple of verses that talk about the dangers of sin, anger turning into sin. Ephesians 4:26. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So, in other words, don't let the day finish without you still being, you know, with you still being angry. James 1:20. And this hits it on the head, really. Anger does not bring about the righteousness that God desires. So we've got to learn how to deal with it, people, you and me. If not dealt with, as David is going to teach us to deal with it soon in the next couple of verses, it can be destructive. We know how when we get angry, we say things we don't mean, we do things we don't mean. It can ruin relationships. It's a very dangerous thing to be angry and not being able to deal with it. It can lead to violence, hatred of other people, or even if you're angry at God and don't know how to deal with it, well, it'll ruin your relationship with him as well, or it could. This is how David tells us to deal with it. Instead of lying there awake at night, tossing and turning and getting fired up, he instructs us just to lie there, be silent and search your heart. Because when we do that, we start to filter through the thoughts that are in our mind, and all those thoughts of anger and scheming and plotting on ways how we're going to get the people back, they slowly start to fade a bit, and we start to think more rationally, and we're like, okay, probably that wouldn't have been the best idea. And also when we lie there silently, we can meditate on God, and he can instruct us in these times and tell us how we should act, and bring new thoughts into our head rather than just smashing someone. So the main thing in this is that we become aware of, hey, God's in control here, and we actually involve him in the process, rather than the last point is doing it on our own, which we'll get on to. We notice, just carrying on a bit after that, he refocuses back on God, and he says, offer right sacrifices. Once again, he focuses on God, and you might think, oh, what does this mean? But back in those days, the sacrifices were on the altar. They're pointing forward to Jesus. For us today, when we look at that, offer right sacrifices, I think it's more looking at recognizing that Jesus is Lord. He's come and he's saved, and he's the one that we've got to trust in. It says, offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Moving on down to verse 6, David starts to settle down a bit as he reminds himself of the importance of involving God in his situation and letting him deal with things, because, yeah, overall David doesn't have a great deal of power when people are trying to overthrow him, but God does. He comments on the fact that there are many who say, oh, who can show us any good? So these are people saying, is there any good in the world? Where's this God you're talking about? David goes on to refocus once again in his prayer on the Lord, praising him, saying, God has filled me with greater joy than when there wine and grain abound. So pretty much he's just reiterating the fact that there's no greater joy that he could ever have in the world other than knowing Christ. Now, towards the end of the verse, he quietens down completely. He's been in strife, he's been fired up. He's felt like everyone was against him. But have a look at the last verse. He's been pretty fired up there in 8, verse 8. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. He understands that God is in control, and he's happy to hand over the situation entirely to God. He's able to sleep in peace rather than tossing and turning all night and scheming and plotting on how he's going to get people back. And deciding how to seek revenge. The last point to remember is this one, that we are not made to do it alone. David points this out because he involves God in his prayer the whole way along. You're not made to do it alone. None of us are. If you do, you'll fail. You'll make mistakes. You think irrationally. Remember, as James 1 verse 20 said, anger does not bring about the righteousness God desires. We're not designed to go through life alone. God is in control. So it is foolishness to hold onto the situation ourselves and to do it ourselves. All we need to do when we're angry is do as God instructs. Lie there silently, search your own heart. Weed out those thoughts that aren't helpful at all. And when you meditate on God, surely only good can come from that. So don't sin in anger and act foolishly. We're to do as God has instructed us to do here. And when I read that, as I said, I've never done that. When I've been angry, I've never just lied there and thought about my thoughts of wanting to get people back. I haven't really involved God a lot when it comes to being angry, because I don't know, you don't think rationally when you're angry. You tend to just fly off the hook and you want to do whatever. But there's a real good lesson for us all. Next time you're angry, if we could all try to do this and involve God and just do as David, as God instructed us through to do in the psalm, then I think the outcome will be very different, eh? to our situations that we so often muck up. But yeah, so the 3 points, just in closing, it's pretty important how we approach God in our prayer. Do it like as David did, just recognize God as the one who is righteous, the one who has helped us in the past, and the one who is in total control right from the start. And to do it reverently is the key, as David was doing. And it's okay to get angry and have a bit of a whinge and a moan, but I think it was awesome throughout the passage how David was just like, he'd get angry and then he'd just bring it right back to God and say, you know, you're the one in control, you're awesome, I'll trust in you. And then at the end, he was totally calmed down because, you know, he was focused, his thoughts were focused on God. So it's amazing what God will do with your thoughts if you hand them over to him completely. So that's about all I've got for the verse, the chapter. So I hope you took something from it. If anything, it's just try that, try it out. Next time you're angry, just try what David said. And I know I'm going to try it, see what happens. If you hand it over to God, then yeah, you can't go wrong, So yeah. Amen. That's me. Hope you got something from it, Sweet. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word that you've given us, Lord, and thank you for David, what he wrote, and the things we can learn from it. Father, help us not to forget that you are an awesome God, and so often when we get caught up in our own fiery situations, Lord, we don't hand them over to you first, Lord. We try to get in there and sort it out with fists or with words, the way we shouldn't do it, Lord, but you teach us in your word that you're in control. Lord, we should hand it to you. Just help us to search our hearts, Lord, and to meditate on you rather than trying to do it all ourselves, Lord, because you know best, and Lord, that's the way it should be, that you're in control. So Lord, we ask that each of us can actually take heed of this and go home, and when we get angry next, Lord, remind us of the scripture that you've put in there, Lord, to be silent and to meditate on you, Father. Amen.